Nothing to fear. But it's very difficult to recognize that there's nothing to fear for those who want their fears and concerns to be true. It's hard to recognize that there's nothing to fear. So these exercises for this meditation is simply going to be to use this idea with your eyes open, your eyes closed, at any time, in any situation. But it's strongly recommended that you take a minute or so, whenever possible, to close your eyes and tell yourself, there is nothing to fear. Repeat it slowly to yourself. There is nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. It's particularly important to use the idea immediately. Should anything disturb your peace of mind, use this idea immediately. If there's anything disturbing your peace of mind right now, tell yourself there's nothing to fear in this situation. There's nothing to fear. If you feel fear, the presence of fear, is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength, separate from the strength of God. If you're full of fear, it means that you're just trusting in your own little separate power as a human being, separate from spiritual reality, separate from the source. The awareness that there is nothing to fear shows that somewhere in your mind, somewhere you may not know of as yet, though not necessarily in the place you recognize as yet, you have remembered God. If you feel right now that you're safe and there's nothing to fear, that means you're letting the strength of your Creator take the place of your weakness when you really feel peace. The instant you're willing to let the strength of your Creator take the place of your plan, the minute you're willing to let the divine plan take the place of your plan, there will indeed be nothing to fear. Remember, the only plan that hasn't worked is your plan. So if you're ever wondering how you can tell the difference between your plan and God's plan, is your plan is wherever you think you failed. It's your plan that you're worried about. It's your plan that you don't have certainty about. It's your plan that you're trying to use to manipulate outer circumstances in order to get what you want. That's always your plan. When you tune it into the divine plan, there is indeed nothing to fear. So I'm going to take a minute to share that thought. And I would invite you to silently tell yourself, there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Remember, the only rules for this class, if you're new or if you've been here for a while, just remember, you need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. And some of these ideas you will find hard to believe and even quite startling. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. You use the Course, you will see that the Course works. If you analyze the Course, you will not see that it works. If you use the ideas, you will see that the ideas are true. And the idea that we're using right now is there is nothing to fear. 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 There is nothing to fear.
Section we were working on last Sunday called "There's called Fear and Conflict and How to Release It and What Causes It." It's on page. We ought to be on page 30 in the text, and I have 3 loaner copies for the hour. Does anyone need one? Thank you. I actually am going to start on page 29, the last paragraph. That's the paragraph I'm going to read. It says, fear is always a sign of strain, arising whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. Fear arises whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. This situation, fear, arises in two ways. First, you can choose to do conflicting things, either simultaneously or successively do conflicting things. So if you are continually doing things that conflict, this produces conflicted behavior. Conflicted behavior, which is intolerable to you because the part of your mind that wants to do something else is outraged. Second, you make fear by behaving as you think you should without entirely wanting to do so. Behaving like you think you should, even though you don't really want to, produces consistent behavior, but it entails great strain. In both cases, doing conflicted behavior or behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to, he says the mind and the behavior are out of accord, resulting in a situation in which you're doing what you don't wholly want to do. Whenever you're doing what you do not wholly want to do, this arouses a sense of coercion. And that usually produces rage, feeling a sense of coercion. And so projection is likely to follow. Whenever there is fear, it is because you have not made up your mind. Whenever there is fear, it's because you have not made up your mind. Whenever there is fear, it's because you haven't made up your mind. Whenever there is fear, it's because you haven't made up your mind. Your mind is therefore split when you haven't made up your mind. And your behavior inevitably becomes erratic when you haven't made up your mind. So correcting at the behavioral level can shift the mistake from acting in conflicting ways to behaving the way you think you should. But correcting your behavior without correcting the split in your mind will not obliterate the fear. So a lot of times when you listen to the Course in Miracles, I'll hear people talk about they're unhappy, or they wish something was different, or that they wish that their life would change in some way. And then what I love about the Course is that the Course in Miracles tells you exactly how to change that. In other words, if you're feeling fear and conflict right now, it's really not because of the outer situation that you think you're going through. It's really because you're either behaving the way you think you should, but you really don't want to, or you're doing something again that feels like it's just conflict again. There's one thing after another that you don't really want to do. So fear is a result of not making up our mind. And the Course says that as soon as you make up your mind, then that reduces the conflict. Even if you don't know what to do, if you say, decide for me, Holy Spirit, decide for me, Great Spirit, decide for me, Higher Self, decide for me, Universe, that's still making up your mind. Even if it's making up your mind to release it, you're still making up your mind. Most of us in our society act the way we think we should without really wanting to. Most of us act the way we think we should without really wanting to. And that's what produces the strain, and that's what's producing the fear. So you have to ask yourself, where in my life am I acting the way I think I should, behaving the way I think I should, saying what I think I should, but it's not really what I feel in my heart? It's not really what I want. So if there's a situation in your life right now that you are holding back, you're not really communicating, you're behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to, you feel like you're being coerced, then he says, then what's going to happen is you're going to feel rage, and then you're going to project, which means you're going to attack somebody. You're on the way to attacking somebody. If you're feeling the way you think you should, but you don't really want to, that's kind of those people that just go off and hurt people unexpectedly that seem like they're so nice. They're behaving as they think they should without really wanting to. And wherever you are doing that in your life right now, you know. You know exactly where you're being the way you think you should without really wanting to. So, the next paragraph says, it's possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under Mac Adams without conscious effort. That's interesting, under Mac Adams, bringing your mind under Mac Adams. I'm going to say something very radical. The Course in Miracles says you didn't create yourself. You didn't create yourself, and your mother and father didn't create you either. You're not here as the result of somebody having good or not so good sex. That's not why you're here. You didn't create yourself. That life force energy, that infinite intelligence, that power that is you, it is not something you created. You didn't create yourself. You did not create yourself. So you do have guidance. You do have a higher self. You do have a spirit. Yeah, there is a creator. There is a God. I'm one of these people that didn't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. And I grew up with a fearful concept of God that didn't work for me. Now, some people it works for, God bless them, and I'm glad it does, and everybody's where they need to be. But that idea of a fearful creator did not work for me. The idea of hell, guilt, and sin did not work for me. The idea that what created me would kill me and attack me and destroy what I love and put me here temporarily just so I can try to pay credit card bills did not work for me. Okay?
Yep.
I'm sorry. Now, from the day I was landed on the planet, I thought this was the most insane place I had ever seen in my life. And I wondered what was wrong with everybody that they thought it was normal to be the way we treat each other and act the way we act with each other. And the whole thing, I still wonder. Because people still think there's some answer other than love. They still think they're going to come up with a solution other than you and I uniting in the goal of peace and unity and each other benefiting and having a full experience and wanting each other to be safe and supporting each other and who we are. I'm sorry, that's the only solution that's going to truly work is your happiness, your peace, your safety, your abundance, your appreciation, getting in touch with your spiritual identity, knowing that you are this unlimited being that creates through your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs, the law of attraction, your consciousness creates your reality. You are an eternal being. You're innocent. You make mistakes. Mistakes are for correction, not for punishment. Punishment doesn't do anything. If I put up here 3 and 3 equals 8, and then you walk up here and you smack me upside the head, I'm still going to think 3 and 3 equals 8. Punishment is not correction. It's the stupidest principle I've ever seen. Send a guy to jail, let him get raped for about 20 months and abused, and he's going to come out much more loving. Nobody's worked with him, no one's gone any counseling, no one's tried to heal his mind, no one's worked on his consciousness, but he's going to somehow, just because he was incarcerated, that's going to make him come out better without any kind of rehabilitation, anything working on his mind. See, that's just not even common sense. But that is the way guilty minds operate. Because guilty minds believe that punishment is correction. And so the more guilty you feel, the more you're going to ask for drama in your life and some form of punishment in your life. And you may do it in the form of a relationship that you're never happy in, a financial situation you're never happy in, a job you're never happy in, a body you're never happy with. Those are just all forms of punishment based on unconscious guilt.
Can you repeat that?
I did. Because I'm real
greedy. That's all you need to know.
So what I like to do is like give good steps. Okay, so instead of saying I feel fear, it would make more sense to me to say I feel conflict. So the Course says it's impossible to reach a state. The other thing was, what created you is not insane. And what created you wants you to have peace. And what created you wants to guide you. But we have to learn how to create, how to communicate with love. Because our creator is love. Our creator is love. So, I love it. God says through the course, it's possible to reach a state in which you bring your man under my guidance without conscious effort, but this implies a willingness that you haven't developed this yet. That's a great line. It's possible to reach a state that you go, I want my divine mind, my higher mind, I want spirit to guide me. But the course says, you know what? You haven't learned how to do that without, what did it say, conscious effort. So in the beginning, your awakening takes conscious effort, conscious focus. It can't be a hobby. It can't be ideas to play with. It's got to be something that you see as being just as important in your life as going to a baseball game, a party, a social situation, going out to the park. Your spirituality cannot be something that you do after you do everything else and really want to go into a divine flow where your life is in ease and harmony, because love communicates differently from fear. And so the world communicates through fear and separation. Spirit communicates through love and unity. So we need to learn a new language in a way. So the Course in Miracles teaches you the language of love. It teaches you the way the loving mind communicates, so that you can recognize beforehand when you're about to get involved with a fearful, guilty, angry mind, as opposed to a peaceful, harmonious, joyful mind. Because anybody you form a relationship with is someone that you're choosing to go through the effects of their thoughts with them. If I'm in a relationship with you, what I'm saying is I'm willing to go through the result of how you think with you. And if you want to know, if you want to do this, ask yourself, if this person didn't have a body, would I want to be with them? And you find out where your priorities are real quick. If I was trapped on the island with this man 24 hours a day, would I kill myself as early as I could and jump into the ocean and hope a shark eat me? And some of you all instantly saw, as soon as I said that, you said, wow, if I had to be with the way this person thinks all the time, I couldn't take it. But what I'm with them for right now is their body, or what their body has, or what their body owns. It's something about what they have that's really attracting me to them, and not the way they think, and not the way they are. You're not guilty, you're not bad, but it would save you a lot of pain in relationships. Relationships are simple when you love each other. Relationships are hard when you fear each other. And the more you fear each other, the more rules you need to treat each other right. So y'all got a ton of rules because you're scared of each other. That's why we have a ton of laws. It's because we're scared of each other. But if I love you, if I want the best for you, if I only want your safety, that desire will dictate the appropriate behavior to support you. So it all goes back to, how do I feel about me? Because the way I feel about me is the way I'm going to treat you. It has nothing to do with the way you feel about me. It has to do with the way I feel about myself. It's going to determine how I react to you. So the Course is saying the Holy Spirit, which is the voice for God that each one of us has, each one of us has a link within ourselves. He says the voice for God, which is the Holy Spirit, cannot ask more than you're willing to do. But the strength to do comes from your what? Undivided decision. So if I want strength in a situation, I need to make an undivided decision. And there's no strain. You don't feel any strain in doing the will of God. You don't feel any strain in doing the will of love. As soon as you recognize that it's also your own will. If you say, Earl, let's go to the movie. I won't have any strain doing that if I want to go to the movie. So God's will does not produce any strain the minute you realize you want what God wants for you. And then the Course says, in case you're wondering, your Creator wants you to have complete and perfect happiness. You need to get clear that life is about joy, it's about peace, it's about happiness. It's not about sacrifice, it's not about guilt, it's not about pain, it's about joy. And whenever you're in a state of joy, that's when you're in a state that you're most helpful to everyone around you, because you're here to show show people that it's possible to be happy here. You're here to represent the alternative, and the universe and invisible forces and teachers will support you in your quest for knowledge and for joy. Because you know what people here need to see? They need to see some sane people. They need to see some loving people. They need to see some centered people. They need to see some people that know how to treat people and people who know how to love people. We need to be witnesses to another way of thinking. And since that's God's will, and that's what you want for yourself too, there's no strain. But it's just about what we've learned has made us think that our Creator wants us to do everything we don't want to do in order for us to be evolved. And everybody be rushing to the truth. Right? Mm-hmm. Think about it. What's the problem? Really, free will is the worst thing that ever happened to us. That free will is the worst thing that ever happened to us. If God's will for you is perfect happiness, then you can do anything but help. You can even help but want the same thing for you. Then you wouldn't have any opposition to your joy. We use our free will to go differently from the will of love. We use our free will to go opposite to trust, opposite to freedom, opposite to joy. So really, free will is just me wanting to do opposite to what's best for me. I don't need free will unless I'm getting ready to do something different from what God wills. But I have to make a decision. The Court says we have to make a decision that God's will for us is perfect happiness. You got to fire your God. You got to fire your God. If your God is a God of fear, you need to fire your God. The reason why your prayers haven't been answered is because the God you believed in doesn't exist. There is no God of sacrifice. There is no God of punishment. There is not, the universe is not against you. The universe is not trying to keep you from being happy. I'm not trying to keep you from being happy. They're not trying to keep. We are all too self-absorbed to be careful about what.
I'm sorry.
Nobody up in this room is really thinking about you too much. Nobody plotting against your personal peace. If you have conflict with people, it's usually less than 10. And you're making those people become, this is why my whole world isn't working. Because my relationship with my mom isn't working, my dad and my sister, my brother, my lover, my child. So you may be talking about under 10 people that you're using to make you feel like your whole life, my boss, makes my whole life seem like it doesn't work. The truth is, if you only got 10 people that's making you miserable, you're way ahead of the game. We're not seeing things correctly. If it's billions of people on the earth and you're down to 10, you should be proud of yourself. You know, there's no telling how many lifetimes that you believe in reincarnation that it took you to get down to 10. I think we should be patting ourselves on the back, actually. Okay? So the Holy Spirit says, the lesson here is quite simple, but particularly apt to be overlooked. I will therefore repeat the lesson, urging you to listen. Here we go. Only your mind can produce fear. Only your mind can produce fear. Your mind produces fear whenever your mind is conflicted in what it wants, which produces inevitable strain because wanting and doing are discordant. So fear comes from wanting what I want and what I am doing is not in agreement. I have fear and conflict with you because what I want to do to you and what I'm doing to you is not in harmony. That's the content of all fear. So the Course says, this can be corrected only by accepting a unified goal. So, what does that mean? That simply means that I need to start wanting one thing and using everything in my life for one purpose. My car has one purpose, my clothes has one purpose, my relationships have one purpose, where I live has one purpose. Everything that I do has one purpose, to recognize the truth and to have the peace of love, the peace of God, to enjoy perfect harmony. I want everything in my life to be a means for peace. I have one goal. When I walk in this room, I have one goal. Wherever I go when I leave this room, I have one goal. Whenever I meet people, I have one goal. When I'm dealing with my money, I have one goal. Peace, 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 peace. And peace equals total fulfillment. Peace is not meditating on your navel, on a mountaintop. Peace is not being physically quiet, sitting in a chair. Which a lot of people not turning on by this whole thing of peace. And a lot of people don't come to spiritual classes because they're boring. And everybody is like not alive and joyful. So people who like to play and like to laugh and like to move and like to dance and like to connect, a lot of times they don't come to classes like this because they don't think that peace is necessarily being quiet. Because you can be expressing yourself with exuberance and be at peace. And you can be totally quiet and be at peace. And you can be totally quiet and be in conflict. And you can be totally exuberant and be in conflict. So it's not about the outer behavior. So peace isn't about the way you behave. Peace is having one unified goal, that goal being love, that goal being peace, and what you want to do, not being out of accord with what you're doing, getting to the point that you develop spiritually, that you can put your mind under the guidance of your higher self without conscious effort, so that when you just walk out of the door, you are guided. You're through figuring it out. So what happens with me is that I've been studying the course be 27 years this year, and teaching it full time for 20 years this year. And there's a lot of people I've met in this period of time. Lots of things that I've learned that I really want to share that I can't do in an hour watching the clock. So I'm going to start doing these short seminars from like 10 to 3 once a month on Saturdays. For people who want to go deep, who know they want to go deep. Not people who come into the class wondering whether or not they want to go deep. Still put me on trial as to whether or not they think what I have to say has enough credibility to listen to me. I'm praying none of those will come. You know, one time a lady wrote me an email telling me what she didn't like about my class, and I wrote her back telling her how much I appreciated her never coming back. And she could tell she was shocked. It was like I was supposed to change the way I did things because she didn't like it. So I was supposed to like change what I did. Well, you need to do this, you need to do that. Like, my God, I'm glad you're not in my personal life. Me know how you deal with everybody. You're a fearful, controlling person who believes that everything in the world should act out your script, which means you must be full of grievances and fear, and a lot of people that frankly just don't like you. So, and I remember back in the old days, I tried to run after people who said they didn't like me, and I tried to get them to change their mind, and what could I do to get you to come back? And it's like, are you out of your mind? You know, I got them said, are you crazy? Somebody that doesn't appreciate you decided to leave and you trying to get them back? What is wrong with you? You let them go. I feel that space, the universe abhors a vacuum. I will fill that up with someone who really recognizes you and appreciates you so that you can grow and you can move and things will go faster. You're supposed to spend your whole life processing. You know, it's funny how you can get out of a relationship and you're just amazed at how much free time you have. You know, all of a sudden you got a whole day. You know, we used to take 2 or 3 hours just to
differently and what I need to change about myself, you know. And you have so much innocence and there's nobody to blame, so you try to get into another one as quick as you can. Then you join with somebody that shares your purpose, who wants you to do what you want to do, who wants to be in accord with you, who wants you to have peace, who doesn't want you to have strain, who wants you to be safe. And then a relationship is speeding you along and is saving you time, and it's the best thing you can ever do to yourself, because you're getting a chance to get this incredible reflection back that you are beautiful, you are innocent. That's not saying we don't make mistakes and mistakes aren't for correction, but at least you know you're with somebody that's on your side. That you're not with somebody whose purpose is just to get you to act out a plan that they made up for their happiness. And betrayal is nothing but somebody not acting out the plan you've described and ascribed to them. And then we call that betrayal. You betrayed me. What are you saying? You didn't act the way I thought you should. You betrayed me. You know your whole purpose on earth is to please me, right?
Yeah.
That all of your plans and all of your needs, you know that this supposed to go to the back burner and you really love me. That you're supposed to put my needs before your needs. Why don't you put my needs before your needs? Then you leave me alone. And then I have peace. Why don't you apply that to yourself?
Yeah.
Ooh, what a radical concept, applying the truth to yourself. That's what all the courses that you are asked to do is just to apply it to yourself. Not to try to apply it to anybody else or get anybody else to apply it to themselves. You just apply it to yourself. So what does that mean? It means if I feel a strain, it means I'm behaving the way I think I should without really wanting to. So what I try to do when I come in here, if I'm feeling fear, then I know I'm getting ready to behave in the way I don't really want to, but I'm acting the way I think I should because of maybe what I think you think I should act like. So then I have to remind myself, well, what do you want? Peace. Well, peace comes from not being out of accord with yourself. So, Earl, you need to be true to yourself as soon as possible so that you can release your conflict. And the minute you don't feel conflict on the inner, and the outer is a reflection of what's going on the inner, you find your outer circumstances miraculously begin to correct themselves because you are no longer out of harmony with yourself.
Thank you, Earl.
It's an inside job. The whole thing is an inside job. There's not even anybody outside of you. You think I'm outside of you. I'm not outside of you. I'm inside your mind. You can't get rid of what's already there. You know what I'm saying? You got some black in you. So tell that to your relatives tonight at the barbecue. I found my inner black child. You know, I was a strange kid, you know. I was the white sheep of the family. Okay. Y'all think black people have black sheep? They don't have black sheep, they have white sheep. Okay. It's so much fun being black. I'm so glad I went to the body store and said, I think I'll try that one. That'd be interesting. I'll be a black man in America this time. You are not your bodies. You are free. You're still as God created you. You know in your heart that this is a school and not our home. Come on now, wake up. Listen, you know you're miserable. That just means you forgot you're supposed to be on vacation. That's just like going to Hawaii and instead of going to the beach, you go down to the employment office. That's what we do. And it all becomes work. You know, getting up my life is just work. You know. Yeah, we got to keep staying in touch with home base. I'm telling you. I love it. So, I never let my subject matter get in the way of what I have to say. So, this cheat is for people who want to let me know that they want to know. It's not a commitment to do it, but it's letting you know that you are really interested. And this is going to be deep. Now, I'm telling you, it's going to be hardcore. I'm going to be saying outrageous things. The first one will be the second Saturday in June. And if you can't make it, you're not supposed to. If
if they fall on a day that you go, well, I can't make it, then that's not the one you're supposed to be at. So just feel peace about it. Okay? I'm going to keep it very reasonable. It's $50. About as much as a half a tank of gas. So I got with an SUV the other day. I just had to ask him. I said, man, how much you paying to fill that up? He said, $75. I remember, this is going to date me a little bit, but I remember when gas was 23 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
When we go joyride, we just get in the car and just drive for the hell up because we just, So it's funny to me to see $3.29. But all I have to do is just raise my consciousness, get in touch with my spiritual reality, know that as a child of God, I deserve abundance and I'm not alone. And I'll always be able to outpace whatever it is the world comes up with. So rather than working on trying to get the oil companies to lower gas prices, I just try to work on opening my consciousness up to who I really am as a child of God, and I would never know lack on any level. That would be the way to go. Okay? So, here's the first corrective step. The first corrective step in undoing the error is to know first that the conflict you're going through right now is an expression of fear. So if you're having a conflict right now, you're feeling fear right now. In whatever area of your life you're having that conflict. And what you really are afraid of is love. That's why relationships can start out so cool, and before you know it, there's something coming up, because this is the way it works. You go,
I love you.
Inside of me, I got love, 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 love. And inside my mind, I got fear, 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 fear. So I got fear and love in me. I just say that I love you. So everything that is not love has to come up for healing and release. Because I only want to feel love for you. So that's why as soon as you tell somebody, I love you, watch out. Have you ever said to somebody, you know, they say, I believe you hate me. And then you go, no, I don't really hate you. See, the minute they said, I hate you, then all the love thoughts came up. All the thoughts that were not hate came up. No, I don't, you know. Yeah, sometimes I want to run you down, but it's fine, it's cool. Okay, then it's just the opposite. If you say, I love you, then everything that's not love comes up for what? Healing. So at the very beginning, when you share that unconditional love and appreciation for people in a relationship or friendship, you're really seeing the end of the journey. You know, that's why you had a honeymoon period at the beginning. You know, because without that, you would never get in the lesson to begin with. You know, it's like when you catch an animal, you have to put some kind of meat in the trap. I'm a boy, meat in the trap. That works for the deep right now. I always count on the fact that I'm teaching adults. It's another kind of person that I'd ask to reconsider whether they want to come to my workshop. If you got a lot of hang-ups about adults talking like adults, then you don't need to come to one of my workshops. Because I do not teach on an 11-year-old level. You know, we grown folk. I want to say something about sex, I said something about sex. I want to say something about money, I do not talk to grown folk like they're children. I'm not going to dumb down my class like television and the media dumb down everything for us in the name of making everything safe for our children. All of a sudden it's about the children to the point that the adults can't even have a conversation anymore. You know, because I might say anything. So don't come to my workshop if you got a stereotype for what you feel like a teacher is supposed to act and what they're supposed to say. If you do not come, you will be disappointed, you'll be angry, and you'll be insulted. But if you open-minded, then hey, come on in there. Because I don't want to think before I speak. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, oh, I'm going to say this, but look, that's going to offend somebody. You know.
Enough.
Grown folks. I'm not going to be talking to your representative. I'm going to be talking to you. This is your representative. I want to meet you. I want you to meet me.
Yep.
Okay, so therefore, if I'm saying I love you, but I have a lot of fear, then how I'm acting is out of accord with what I really feel inside, and then I have conflict, and I'm not doing what I really want to do and saying what I really need to say. I'm going to start to feel like I'm being coerced. You're going to do something very slight, and I'm going to go off way out of proportion with what you just did. And I'm also going to want to separate as fast as I possibly can, because it's natural to want to separate from what you are afraid of. So you're not crazy if you want to get away from something you don't like. And a lot of people feel guilty because they want to get away from what is miserable. The court says, recognize misery and go the other way. There's a very powerful instruction about misery. Recognize it, go in the opposite direction. You know what I'm saying? So if a bear is approaching me, I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to stop and say, can we have a one-on-one counseling session so I can figure you out and we can work through our issues? You know, some of us need to get the hell out the forest. Okay? How do you know it's wrong for you? You're miserable all the time. It's not deep. You've done the best you could. You've communicated the best you could. You've done everything you know how. You've read books. You've done workshops. You went to Mama Lucci and got a reading. You know, you've done it all. You know what I'm saying? There you go. Okay? So the course then says, say to yourself, if you're feeling an expression of fear and conflict, says, say to yourself what? That you must have somehow chosen not to love. Or the fear could not have arisen. Now, The Course in Miracles is a book about relationships, and it teaches that relationships are our path, and that relationships are our fastest way to get to enlightenment. For Course in Miracles students, I'm going to say it again, for Course in Miracles students are students who want to use the path of relationship. It's not everybody's path. It's very important to keep that in mind. I'm not trying to convert anybody. I only want the people that are headed in the same direction I'm headed, because then we go faster. I'm not looking for people to convince. I'm looking for people who want to remember with me. You see what I'm saying? Which is cool, because over a period of time, we do this once a month thing, it's going to always settle down to whoever's the little cool, hardcore folk, and then they're going to get to know each other. And then when we walk in the door, we're going to do more in 5 hours than most people do in 5 lifetimes, because everybody have trust and everybody have an open mind and they're ready to go deeper. You know, it's because there's always a shift, a sifting out, a weeding out. And I'm excited about finding out who that is. So the course then tells us that you should say, darling, I've chosen not to love you this morning. I just want you to know, I woke up this morning, I thought about what happened last night, and I chose not to love you. I'm choosing not to love you right now. What does that mean? I'm afraid. I'm choosing not to love. Then it says, if you weren't choosing not to love, fear couldn't have come up in the first place. So the truth is, I was feeling a lot of love. In the past, it's been those who say that they love me are the ones who I've been hurt by the most. So the mere fact that I'm falling in love with you is making me feel afraid. This could be a friendship. This could be anything. So the mere fact that I'm feeling love for you, and I have a memory of love that at any level produced pain or loss, means I have a fear of intimacy. And so as soon as the love really starts to happen, then I'm going to start to feel fear. And I'm going to choose not to love, or I wouldn't feel afraid. If I have fear about money, then I'm choosing not to love it. You get the word love money. Love money. You're supposed to be loving God. You're supposed to be loving everything. You don't separate out anything from love. Love doesn't separate out. But you're loving abundance. Money is just a symbol of that. abundance that we love. So I have to say, okay, I'm choosing not to love my job. I'm choosing not to love my boss. I'm choosing not to love my coworkers. I'm choosing not to love my family. I'm choosing not to love myself. I'm choosing not to love my car. I'm choosing not to love my clothes. I'm choosing not to love. I'm choosing not to love. I'm choosing not to love. And that's where my conflict and fear is coming from. I'm choosing not to love. Was the same as saying, I'm choosing not to practice the truth on this. I'm choosing not to practice the truth on that. I'm choosing not to practice the truth that I'm learning here. I'm choosing not to practice the truth I'm learning. Take a breath. He says, then the whole process of correction becomes nothing more than a series of pragmatic steps in the larger process of accepting the atonement as the remedy. So the atonement, another word for the atonement is the remedy. So I want to accept the remedy. And the Course says these steps may be summarized in this way. Here are the four steps. First step is know first that this is fear. Get out of denial. Know first that you're afraid. I'm calling it angry, but I'm afraid. I'm calling it being depressed, but I'm afraid. I'm calling it being sickness, but I'm afraid. I'm calling it being lack, but I'm afraid. I'm calling it communication problems, but I'm afraid. Know first that if you're not feeling peace, you are feeling fear. Know that first. The second step is to know that the fear arises from a lack of love. That right now, if we want to end this problem, let's go back to the beginning and remember our initial decision. Remember the way we saw each other in the first. And remember the thing we told each other, which was, I'm going to love you unconditionally, I'm going to appreciate you unconditionally, and I'm going to let you be, and I'm just going to support you for who you are. Because you forgot it now. Okay. So what I was getting ready to tell you was, at the very beginning, what you see in that unconditional love is the way the relationship is going to be at the end when you let go of all the blocks within you. So you have to see at the beginning what you're shooting for. So it's like a preview of coming attractions. So the beginning of a relationship is a preview of coming attractions. It's the way the relationship is going to be for real when you get past your misperceptions and your own fears and your own errors and your own issues. So if you're two people in a friendship or a love relationship that really cares about each other, then you're going to set the goals of peace together, and you're going to realize that all the things that come up in between are just the things that need to come up to be released so that you can have only love for each other. And this will not stop you from going past any block that comes up in the friendship or the love. If you get depressed just at the thought of trying to work through it with them, that's your clue that you're with the wrong person. You know, I see some people say, let's get together, let's have a relationship talk, and you just when you say, okay, I'm going to help you work through this together, they get depressed. Because the truth is, they don't really want to work on it together anymore. They really don't want to be together anymore. So the whole idea of them working on it together is depressing. If it's depressing for you to work through a situation, then that's your way of knowing that you don't want it. And if you try to stay in something you don't want, then you're going to produce conflict and fear because you behave in the way you think you should, but you don't really want to. And here's a good thing to say to somebody right before you try to clear up something between you. Say to them, do you want to join or do you want to separate? Before we even do this whole process, do you want to join or do you want to separate? Do you want to get past this and join or do you just want to be right?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that can ever stop two people who really want peace and love together from having it. Nothing. And everything comes between two people who don't want it. That's deep, isn't it? If you really want it, nothing can come between you. If you don't want it, everything comes between you because you become afraid of intimacy. You become afraid of love, especially if you don't think you deserve it. And now you're being treated. The hardest part for people on the path is to handle it when it starts to work. Because when it starts to work, they come flat up against their own belief that they don't deserve it. See, up until then, they could think they wanted it, but it just never happened. But when it starts happening is when you get in touch with how you really feel about yourself. And so you watch sabotaging things because of your own self-hatred. So as soon as you get what you want, you go about setting that old, you know, you bring your old patterns into the relationship so that you can screw it up. so that you can get away from this love that you fear because you don't think you deserve it in the first place. The only remedy for lack of love is what? Perfect love. And perfect means complete. And love means freedom. So the only remedy is complete love, which is complete freedom. I really want to let go of all fear between us, and we are willing to set that goal and focus on that goal first and foremost, because we've learned that if you focus on the goal will create the circumstances and situations that allow the goal to manifest. That's why you focus more on the goal than how to achieve it. So perfect love, complete love, is the remedy. So I need to love you more, which means I just need to appreciate you more. That's what love means from a Course perspective. It means appreciation. So many times in my relationships, I've asked the people that I was close to or intimate with that we would say, I really appreciate you, instead of saying I love you, so we can learn to associate love with appreciation, because people aren't afraid of appreciation, but when you say the word love, they go, say anything but you love me. Because that's what scares me. You're saying you love me. And what's really scaring me is really my past experiences and learnings about love and what I went through in the past. But if I say to you, I fully appreciate you. I fully appreciate you. People go, wow, great. So I always say I love and appreciate you. I want to link those two words together to allow me to lose my fear of love. So if I'm having a fear of love, which means now I'm in conflict, which means now I'm projecting on you, which means now I think I'm alone in some way and I see my old patterns coming up, I need to run as fast as I can to my appreciation list. So what I would do, I would write down a list of things that I really appreciated about a person, and then when I was really tripping and afraid and seeing them as a block to my happiness, I'd go to my appreciation list and remind myself of, oh yeah, I had diarrhea and they stayed up with me. A tendency to wipe out everything a person has ever done for us in a loving way by the one thing that we seem to be currently upset with them about, so it looks like they never did anything wonderful for us. It's just the last thing. You know better. It's just like the credit bureau. You know better than your last 6 months. You could have paid that bill 20 years, and the first time you got behind, they act like you've never paid it before. You know what I'm saying? So it's really important for us to go, you know what? This is the same person that was there for me in so many ways. Why can't I honor our friendship and our relationship enough to remember that? And then come from a place of I'm afraid, I appreciate you. How can we go past this fear together? How can we do a 200% solution? And a 200% solution is a solution where both of us win. I want a solution that both of us win. And then you're asking Holy Spirit to take over. You're asking the higher power to take over. You're asking for some guidance, because the Course says you can't come up with those solutions through your ego mind. That you need to go through to a higher level of thinking and learning and perception to pull that off. And then the Course is just one way of getting these new perceptions. The book is full of alternative new perceptions. It's not asking you to go back to your own mind, figure out another one of your brilliant solutions and then try to project it on that person. It's saying be conscious enough to go to your teaching, to your path, to your learning, see what it says, and then love each other enough to apply that to that relationship. It's not asking you to figure out a solution. It's saying the solution has already been figured out. I'm just asking you to listen. And that's what he says. It is possible to reach a stage in which you bring your mind under my guidance without conscious effort, but this implies a willingness you have not developed as yet. So the willingness that we haven't developed yet is the willingness to go to a mind that's more aware than ours, to our path, and do what our path says do. So once you choose a path, then be faithful to that path, and for at least 90 days, drop all the other paths, drop all the other books, stop reading 5 different books at one time, picking out what you like out of each one of them, and creating your own path. Because what you do is overlook everything that would bring about a change in you. And you focus on what you already agree with. Still have your issues, and they never get dealt with. So choose a path, whatever that path may be for you, and for 90 days, say, I'm going to do this path. And I'm not going to do any other path. I'm going to do this one. I'm going to apply it as best I can and watch what happens. Because then you won't be conflicted. Because you and I both know when you study something, you go to one book and it says, don't do that, whatever you do. Then you go to another book and it says, do that, whatever you do.
Yeah.
And it'll be like totally opposite because you got so many different ways you're going. But if you found your path, now that's important. If you found your path, I'm not talking about you still out here looking. That's cool. Keep looking. But when you find, stop seeking. Like people will still bring me up stuff, you know, you need to check this out. You need to check that. You know what? I feel my path is working beautifully for me. I just want to do my path that I'm not looking anymore. So I don't need to try what you just tried. But you need to because you're still seeking. But when you find it, when you find that path that even if you don't understand how to do it yet, but you know for some reason it resonates in your soul, then work on letting yourself apply it now. Stop seeking if you found. And if you haven't found, feel innocent about seeking. It's okay, because the Course in Miracles is not everybody's path. It's not. All right, so ask yourself, where am I choosing not to love? And then ask your higher self to help you remove the blocks to the awareness of the presence of love that you know is there. And as much as you can this week, do what you really want to do and not what you should. In some cases, you're going to do some things that you really don't want to do, and that's okay. But in little things, start to do it. Go to the movie you like, go to the dinner you like, wear the clothes you like. Start in little ways. But more and more, every day, you want to let go of a day that's full of shoulds, oughts, and have-tos. You got to get rid of them. I have to, I should, I ought. It should be I desire, I want, I love. And that's a process, so be patient with yourself. With your little cute selves, all right? Would you acknowledge him for hearing this much with me? Holy Spirit. I got one little thing I want to end on, and we're going to do the love offering right now. And then I'm not finished. I don't try to be positive anymore. I try to be truthful. I tell myself the truth. If I don't like something, I say, you know, I don't like that. It doesn't feel right to me. I don't try to sweep it under the rug and pretend that I like what's not going on. I enfold it. I take it within me, and I own it. And when you do that, it passes right through you, you know. It's my call for love. That's what it is. It's a call for love. So if you're afraid right now, it's a call for love. If you're upset right now, it's a call for love. If you're feeling some lack of sickness right now, it's a call for love. You want to be loved. You want to know love. You want to know unity. You want to be appreciated. You want to know that you're acknowledged and recognized. That's what you want. You're not bad. You just want love. You just want acknowledgement of love. And if you're receiving love and you're scared you have to death and the old inner saboteur is trying to come up with everything it can to make you feel like, you know, you don't deserve it in some way, just enfold it. Go, oh, okay, I recognize that part of me that thinks I don't deserve it, and I'm just going to love it, and I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to be with it, and I'm not going to pretend that I don't feel it so it can pass through me. Because when you give something a meaning, then you let it go. It's like the minute you think you know what something means, like something comes into your life and you judge it, and as soon as you think you know what it means, you let it pass on through because you think you know it. When you're trying to figure out what it means, then you put it on a shelf inside of you. And then you try to come back to it later and figure out what it must have meant. So a lot of us are using our minds as a museum of hell. We got all this stuff in our mind that we're going to get back to and figure out what it means. Instead of just unfolding it and letting it pass through. So how do you unfold it? You go, this is my call for help. This is my call for healing. Yeah, I know it may sound like I just cussed you out. But the truth is I was saying, help me, help me. I want to love you. I'm afraid. I want love. This is so good. I'm getting scared. I'm going to run my old pattern down on me again. Don't do it. You know, you are succeeding. You are achieving your goal. One day you said you wanted to be around loving people, and now you're sitting in a room full of them.
That's your consciousness.
Let me see.
Yeah, that's your consciousness. So can we appreciate each other and just acknowledge each other? I'm going to do this for about 1 minute. I'm going to do the four steps, and I want you to just breathe through and hear before you go out into the lab.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. Wow, wow. No, that this is fear. Fear arises from a lack of love. The only remedy for lack of love is perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love is the atonement. Perfect love is the remedy. Perfect love. Complete appreciation. Complete appreciation is the remedy.
Happy weekend.
Your assignment is to party.